What's up, guys? This is Roland Buck III. I play Noah Sexton on Chicago Med, and you're listening to Meet Us at Molly's.
You're standing next to your brave family. And to me, there's nothing more important.
Not gonna be all sunshine and roses, but I can promise it's gonna be a hell of a ride.
Hey, Shyhards, thank you guys so much for your patience this week. As you know, it's a bit of a crazy schedule. Brian is on vacation out of town. I am on a work trip. Since it's a pretty hectic week for both of us, we unfortunately won't be able to bring you episode 285 on Friday. Lauren and I, however, are getting together over the weekend to record, and you will hear our episode recapping this week's new episodes of One Chicago on Monday. So we still did want to bring you guys some content this week. What's on the agenda today, I think you guys are going to like quite a bit. First off, we're going to start off with the terms of the bet. As you all know, this is the third year that we've done this, and we got together with our dear friends, Jimmy and Lauren, to lay out the terms. It's the usual of what happens when we get together. Just chaos, fun, lot of joking with each other. I don't usually like to speak for Bryna, but in this instance, I feel like I can. We love any time the four of us get together just because it's so much fun. We have a blast. We'll go over the terms of the bet, and then we're going to hear from Luke Mitchell. He stopped by the pod last week to give us a little tease into this week's episode of Chicago Med. We also talk about Ripley and Hannah. We talk about Ripley and Dr. Charles, all of that good stuff. So we'll go ahead and get it started. Let's lead off with the bet.
We're back, everybody. I don't know why I'm introducing this, but here I am. Never give me a mic and expect me not to talk, I guess. What iteration is this? How many times have we done this now, this bet? Three. Third times the charm. Wow. Yep. Wow. And I think what's most special is who won the first year?
We did.
That would be Team Meet Us at Molly's.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I almost just came out the gate and talked about how I haven't lost yet. And then in my head, I was like, Jimmy, I think you lost the first year.
You did.
That's because
you needed me in order to win.
Yeah, it was an unfair fight. You were doping. You were basically the Russian Olympic team, doping, swapping in blood. And I had to come in, get a teammate, make this a fair fight. And here we are. So now that it's fair.
Baseless allegations, sir.
I don't know. It's a numbers game, okay? That's like I had one arm, you had two arms. It wasn't, you know, but we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty. We're here, we're back for another bet. We're setting the parameters of the bet. So we're filling out brackets. Anybody stop me if I'm wrong here. We're gonna fill out a bracket. Whichever bracket comes out on top is the winning team, and we're gonna establish what the losing team has to do. So this is where we are. Lauren, before we started recording, specifically said that we went through our list of taboo things that we can't do. Lauren would like for you both not to make her have to fail an assignment, to which I said, these are the two most wholesome people I know. They would never do that.
It's an inside joke because during my, like, the first assignment I turned in for grad school, I got a 9 out of 10 on it. And then called and had a meltdown. So we're better now.
I'm really proud of you. That's intense.
Yeah.
You're not good. A perfectionist. Also, no. I'll have you both know that I was just coming up with things that I would make me do if I was you. I feel like I came up with a lot of really good bet ideas for Gina and Bryna for me that I can't tell you until after we set the rules of the bet. Because then you can't use mine. But mine are great. So the question is, who wants to go first?
Maybe you guys should go first since you won last year.
Okay. So it's like a tee box thing at golf. We're first on the tee.
I don't speak golf. I have no idea what you're saying.
It's all right. Let me talk about... Okay, so gymnastics.
Now I'm listening.
We are going to get on the balance beam. That's what I got. Hold on. Lauren, do you want to explain what we want them to do if we win the bet, or would you like me to set it up?
You can set it up.
Okay.
Oh, wait, but Gina? Okay, yeah. Go, go. You go.
All right. Well.
Oh, gosh.
Here's the thing. You know.
There's two parts for Gina's bet.
Yeah, and I want to know why it's two parts for me and one part for Brenna.
But you'll know once we, you'll get it.
So, everybody, please say, just take a moment of silence here. It's really important. You may notice this song.
Oh, I know the song.
Is this High School Musical?
If you lose the bet, you have to learn the choreography. And you gotta get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. And don't be afraid to shoot the outside J, okay? You have to learn the choreography. Oh, let's bump it. You have to learn the choreography, record it, and put it out. How much of it, Lauren? How much of the song?
I cut 18 seconds of it. It's
18? No, that's too late. That's okay. Too late.
No.
That's like a four. We got to make it to the bridge. We got to make it to. Why am I feeling so bad?
No. It's the part that
that's
I said.
The best part.
This one. This whole dance.
Which one? Hold on. Pause, please. Oh, that opening. Yes, yes, yes.
This is what they need to learn.
Okay. Yep. That's fair.
I feel like
that's
I just fair. Have to pull it back out of the backs of my memory. Yeah.
And also, I'm pretty sure they've done we'll teach you how to do this dance.
That's what I'm saying.
And post it on YouTube.
Bryna seems unfazed by this. Bryna got excited. She actually lit
up. I love High School Musical.
Oh, this is great.
I love High School Musical.
Okay. I think it's maybe it's they have to do the 18 seconds. They have to repeat it a couple times through. 18 seconds is so short.
But they have to do the whole dance.
You're right. You have to do the whole 18-second dance.
And sing it.
And sing it. You have to sing it and dance it.
That's really funny.
That's funny.
I think yes, that's the way to go.
They have.
Look
I'm
going
to listen to you.
We also have a tutorial for you. Come on. We're full service on our side of the bed.
You're welcome.
Brenna, we cannot lose.
Also, whoa. We also have to follow up. Has Hawkins for Life been being said on the pod?
Well, somebody hasn't been listening.
I'm sorry. I can't listen to the pod because if I listen to the pod, it's like listening to a recap of all of my friends hanging out at a birthday party that I wasn't invited to. They're like, let me tell you all about this birthday party that we didn't invite you to. I'm like, I can't do that.
Not recently.
Wow.
Not recently.
You said you weren't going to.
I mean, you only did it the first week.
All I said.
That's not true.
All I said was once. You just every time Violet's name is said the first time, Hawkins for Life. Wow. With friends like these, Lauren, with friends like these, you die and they just forget to put flowers at your grave. It's okay. They're just like, you know, let's watch Carver and Hanako make out. Just kidding. All right. I did know about that because I got tagged in it about 50 times.
You were also the first one to comment on that video.
I got tagged in it 50 different ways. I didn't even watch the episode. I think I was coming out of the show and someone was like, boom. And I was like, let's go, baby. And I was like, I came out. I came out of hiding. I was like, bang, bang, bang. And then went back. I'm sorry. I digress. So the number one thing that you have to do is you have to go back to saying Hawkins for Life once an episode. Sorry, I don't make the rules.
Second, you can't go back on the terms of last year's bet.
No, that bet is still
continuous.
That's a tattoo. That's tattooed in blood. That's branded. That's branded on my ass. That bet.
Yeah.
So because I distinctly remember I said this is a really tough one. That's a lot to say, and you both had a lot of hubris, and you were like, "That's not crazy. That's not much." And I was like, "We could make it once an episode." And I got told that it was not a big deal of a bet to make. So. This one's only 18 seconds, but I don't make the rules. I just enforce them.
So now the 2023 bet and the 2024 bet, if we lose, which we're not going to do, they like it's like compounded. We have two bets in one that we have to fulfill.
2023 in a bet.
Exactly. Lauren, thank you. So what we do. We finish each other's sentences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I hate to be the enforcer, but what are you? So are you agreeing to get your head in the game?
I know Brenna is.
Brenna is.
Oh, and then the other part of it was you have to watch all three movies for the first time. No, I'll watch them with you, though. I will do
additional
it. I don't know how you've been a functioning human without seeing those movies. This, like, I don't know how you've made it this far in life, but you'll do it. You'll get through it. It's okay.
It's honestly a gift if you have to watch those three films. It's just a gift.
Yeah.
The boys
it's
are
pretty
back.
Funny. I'm in. It's pretty. That is pretty funny.
I think so. I like it. What do you all want us to do?
So ours is two.
Lauren looks scared.
Yeah, Lauren looks scared. Okay.
Ready.
So for Jimmy, we're going to stick with what we had last year because it's just too good.
Okay.
If we win, you've got to teach a spin class to like, it's a mix of like you singing, you acting, you speaking, podcasting. Okay. It's basically you for an hour in a spin class.
They're going to literally. Okay. I got to think about this. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Gosh, that's so.
Oh, if he has to.
It's honestly, that sounds nauseating. That's so much of my voice.
Can you imagine a spin class and all you hear is pup on the run? No problem.
You want. Okay. I got that. I'm in. Okay. Sick. Can't wait. Can't
love you, Jimmy.
Wait.
Just giving you shit because it's fun.
Cannot wait. Pup is on the run. No problem. I'm ready to go. I'm down. I will do that 100%. We're not going to lose, so 100%. What's Lauren's side of it?
Bryna, you want to give Lauren's side?
All right, Lauren, since you are in your studious era, you have to write, let's see, what did we say, Gina? 500?
1,000?
1,000 words about why Mina Tamales is the better podcast and read it on Jimmy's pod on Everything But the Kitchen Sink.
1,000?
Yes, about why we're the better podcast.
Wow. I could write that for you. You're clearly the better podcast.
But you won't because of Lauren's punishment.
Right.
Okay. I was going to say, if you need 1,000
words
from someone.
Lauren has to write it and read it on Everything But the Kitchen Sink.
I see now. They specifically are taking me out of it because I'm like, I'll read that aloud on my podcast. 100%.
And it's just like a solo, that's just a solo pod that we post.
Oh, hell yeah.
Me reading it.
Hell yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
This seems very fair.
That was honestly tame. I was scared.
Oh, it's very tame.
You thought we were going to sabotage your academic career over here.
I was scared.
Instead, we're just adding to it.
Okay.
You have to get a 97 instead of a 98, Lauren.
Yeah.
Jeez, she's such a good student. Wait. Can we back up a second? So before we got on recording, Lauren was saying that she was super nervous about two things being involved in the bet. One of them being that they would sabotage her academic excellence, which was hilarious to me. Like they're some sort of like mafiosa coming for her academics. No. And the other one was FaceTime. So you're on FaceTime a lot. What were you scared of? What was your number one fear about FaceTime?
No, I was just like, oh, they might just say like, I can't FaceTime for a week.
Because you just FaceTime so much.
I'm a chronic FaceTimer.
Okay. How many a day are we talking?
Like a lot.
It's okay. You're safe here. No one's listening. We're not on
I mean,
a,
like, I have, like, a rotation. I have, like, a 4-person rotation, and then I'll stay on for, like, 2-3 hours with them. If I don't have school, then I'm seeing
Rina, Gina, do you hear what this is? None of us are in the 4-person rotation. Oh, my gosh. You think you have a friend. You FaceTime for 2 hours with each of them?
Yeah. But sometimes, like, I won't call. They'll call. And so it's just a daily thing.
I'm not a part of the rotation. Gina, are you a part of the rotation? Bryna?
I'm going to play the fifth on this one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do anything with your FaceTiming. I thought it was a FaceTime thing. It's not. You're safe, Lauren. I didn't know this. I didn't know that there was an 8-hour FaceTiming shebang. Wait, so we have now, do we need to put it in blood? We have all the bets set away completely. We're good. We're straight. What day do we have to have our brackets in by?
You tell us.
I think it's Thursday at 12, if I remember correctly.
Perfect.
12 Eastern, I think, is when it cuts off.
Jimmy, you set up the brackets last year. Are you doing the same thing this year?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're already set up.
I'll set it up. Okay.
I got an email.
Now that business is over, we have to go to the most important thing. So I have not watched any of Chicago Fire this year. And I have the two experts on Chicago Fire here. Lauren and I both are, Lauren, you have some catching up to do as well, correct?
Yes.
Amazing. So I'm going to be at a convention this weekend. I'm going to be talking to people. I have no idea what's going on the show. I need the three most important talking points that I should have for this weekend. I need him. So let's have Gina give one, Brian to give one, and then you guys come together to give a joint one at the same time. We'll see if you guys are on the same wavelength.
Carver and Violet, obviously.
That's you for the whole season. That's the thing. Well, I mean, that we should
only
throw
got six episodes.
That.
Not a lot's going on.
Not a lot's going on. Okay. Cool.
Severide being gone for like half the season, it feels like wasn't.
But he's back. But he's back now.
He is back now.
Okay, so I'm gonna lean into that. They're gonna be like Chicago Fire and be like Severide's back now. Sick.
He is.
Third thing.
Bretzi wedding, Brenna?
Yeah, that was the most recent thing.
Okay, I'm caught up.
You are.
I knew about all those things, though. I knew about those things. I guess that's like the greatest hits right now going down.
That's what we can chat about on the record.
On the record. Let's chat about it off the record. Message me. Why don't you get in the chat and message me what your off the record things are? And then I'll just respond to them without using keywords.
Oh, this is going to be really good. Okay.
Send it in the meeting chat.
I'm doing it right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like this. That's more of a question, but okay. Love that. There is a question that's been posed that's off the record that I'm not allowed to give my response to off the record, but now we're getting spicy. Bryna, do you have one?
That's the main one she and I talk about all the time. So
interesting.
That's the one we can't talk about on the record.
Why can't? But you both talk about it
off the record.
So you don't talk about it on the show. Have you posed that question on the show?
No,
that's just in the back of your mind. Brian, am I making you sweaty yet? Am I making you sweat?
No, but I know what Gina wants to say that she can't say.
Why can't you pose the question?
Because I think she's typing it, but they're... Yeah.
Oh! Wow. Wow. Okay, so I just want you all to know, listening, thank you for putting up with our exclamations, but now things are getting spicy. So I think what's very important for all of you to know is that you all watch the shows, you have your feelings about the show, and I think your connection as listeners to Gina and Bryna, as you listen to Meet Us at Molly's right now, is you're like, wow, Gina and Bryna are one of us. They are fans of the show. They love the show. And they started this podcast that we love so much that we've been listening to for 12 years because Gina and Brian are the best. But what you don't know is behind the scenes, Gina and Brian are being capital J journalists on the ground, getting the inside scoop so that they can tell you off the record things that are very, very interesting to discuss. And we can't share those things with you now, but you are in good, capable hands. And Hawkins may not be here, and plenty of people may not be here, but you got two capital J journalists on the ground doing the work. That is a very interesting piece of information. I wish we could talk about that on the podcast. Wow, that is incredible. You both are wonderful. I'm sorry, we can't talk about everybody, but those are interesting things.
You know what we can talk about?
What can we talk about, Lauren?
Your
FaceTime habits? 8 hours?
That's sorry. Incredible. Some of my friends live in my phone. I don't know what to tell you.
That's awesome. What were you going to say?
I'm trying to think. Hold on. I don't know. I was just trying to get a second.
Can we
there.
Talk about some of these Oscar movies, Jimmy? Because, like, I watched some of them.
Sure.
But, like, yeah, okay. I'm, like, borderline offended that Lily Gladstone did not win the Oscar for Best Actress.
Borderline offended?
That movie was incredible. I haven't seen Poor Things, but I'm that movie was incredible.
Bryna, have you seen Killers of the Flower Moon?
I'm so behind on everything.
It's all right. We'll take 4 hours of Lauren's FaceTiming and we'll give it to you and you can watch Killers of the Flower Moon. We'll just trade that out.
Okay.
No, I mean, we hashed this out on the Sinkies. So anybody listening, it was probably Kyle and I's biggest fight this year about whether Lily Gladstone should be in supporting or regular. So much so that over Zoom, I think Lauren was getting uncomfortable during the fight a little bit. But yes, it's very sad. I think what's sad about it is that, like, it would have been a more special Oscar moment if Lily Gladstone had won. I also think, like, Poor Things is a little bit more of a polarizing film in general. And I think, like, while myself and others have said Lily Gladstone being nominated in lead didn't make sense, I think that nobody is against that performance. And I think it would have been a more special moment if she won rather than Emma Stone, who's already won an Oscar. But yeah, it definitely was tough, but I thought it might happen. I don't have a ton to say on it, but I'm with you. I think it was incredible. That movie is incredible. You all should see it. It's my third favorite movie of the year. I absolutely love that movie. It's depressing though. Like, it's literally just about genocide.
Like, no, it's totally depressing, but it's a part of American history a lot of people don't know about. Like, that was eye-opening for me to watch that movie and realize, oh man, like, this happened.
White people discovered America, Gina. We own this place.
Yeah, but, like, I tend to see the good in people, so I'm not going to go in this and be like, hey, look, it's Robert De Niro. He's going to go in here trying to, like, pull off everybody.
I know. And Kyle said this on our podcast, too. It's Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio, two of the most likable stars that we have, committing genocide. Yeah, you don't, both should see it. I'm sad as well, Gina. Wait, hold that thought. Gina, you have a wine glass with you, right? What are you on? What is this, your third glass? Okay, hold that thought.
I'm holding that thought. By holding that thought, I mean I'm holding that wine glass.
Hi, Pookie.
What'd you say, Lauren?
I said, hi, Pookie Bears. I love you.
Hi. Sorry. Hello, guys.
To symbolize our sadness over Lily Gladstone, that Brian and Lauren feel really hard. They feel super heartily because they also saw the film. I have some of Kendall Jenner's tequila. 818. And also to signify our bet and also the wonderful journalism that Gina and Bryna are doing for all the Meet Us at Molly Hive, we'll do a toast. Bryna can do an imaginary glass. We have a Diet Dr. Pepper. Amazing. A toast to our bet 2024. A reminder to do your frickin' bet from 2023, Hawkins for life. And may the odds be ever in your favor. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, friends.
It really is vanilla-y. All right. I think we've wasted people's time enough. I've been talking like an idiot. So, and to answer your crazy question, I think the answer is 75% yes to that. Agreeing with her. That's saying too much?
No.
I don't think we said anything. That's great.
No.
We'll never tell.
What are you guys talking about the rest of your episode? I saw this is the bet, and who else is coming on this episode?
I chatted with Luke Mitchell from Chicago Med last week. So that's just kind of previewing this week's episode of Med.
Who's Luke Mitchell? Is he the new guy?
The new guy. Yeah. Dr. Mitch Ripley on Chicago Med.
Little facial hair?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was on TV being very serious. I was like, oh, Med, being serious. Yeah, love it.
He's been in a couple other things. He's been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been in Big Sky. Pretty familiar guy. But yeah, he was lovely. So we're going to
pair one Chicago verse loves snagging Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people. We love it.
Yeah.
Wait, am I coming on for the finales? I haven't been invited. So I guess not.
Do you want to?
No. I guess I'm not invited.
You are always invited.
You have to catch up on some shows. Are you just going to go in blind? Are you going to go in blind?
Well, it depends. Do you want me? I mean, it depends. How did I do last year? I think I did well. I think I was like a, I just came in as a closer a little bit. I popped in.
We can't unsee the clear guy.
The clear guy. He
is
forever the clear guy. Every time they have a scene with him, we laugh so hard.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is,
yeah.
Okay. Listen, you both are boots on the ground, real journalists. I should come on for the finales and just be a little bit of a hot sauce, just a little bit of a wild card. I will only watch the finales. I mean, not bad.
Let's
you
do
guys
it.
Can think
I'm
on
down.
It. Think on it. Let me know.
Oh, I won't come on, but love you all.
You can come on, Lauren. You can always come on. You both can. You both have open invites.
Well, Berzik is like in their happy place right now. Lauren's in heaven. She just wants
to die,
right?
Don't say it too loud. Gwen might hear it and fuck it up.
I haven't watched what's happening.
I mean, we're busy. I sent Lauren 3 hours of video this week, okay? I'm just at the one who already has more homework than everyone else. I'm just throwing video content at Lauren. Oh, you're doing great. All right, I'll get out of here. Love you both. So good to see you both. Excited for our bet. And you both are incredible. They're my heroes. Keep killing it.
Love you both.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Moral of the story this year is we cannot lose. I think Bryna is a little excited at the idea of doing a High School Musical dance on socials because that movie was her jam growing up. It was not mine, however. I just don't think the world wants to see a video of me trying to dribble a basketball on beat. I don't think anybody needs that. But we'll see. Lastly, we've got our interview with Luke Mitchell. Luke stopped by the pod this week to discuss tonight's episode of Chicago Med. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about Ripley's relationship with Dr. Charles, his relationship with Hannah. So here is the interview. Give it a listen and make sure you tune in to Chicago Med tonight at 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Central on NBC. Here you go. Hi, Luke. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, lovely to meet you as well.
Hi, so how's Chicago so far? We like it? We're getting acclimated?
Loving Chicago, absolutely acclimated. Though I've been told that I've been very lucky with the winter so far. It's been a very mild winter, though we did have some, we had about a week and a half in early January, where that was pretty aggressively cold. But all in all, really enjoying Chicago. Kind of feels like a slightly smaller, cleaner New York in a way, which is a good thing. Very friendly people, great food, you know. Yeah, very happy to be here.
Good, good. That's a good way to put it. I've never thought of Chicago that way, as a smaller, cleaner New York. I like that.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah. So what we like to do on our podcast, we love to get inside the characters' heads. That's a lot of fun for us. So a lot of our questions are going to be kind of like that. So just to kind of give you a primer. So there have been some really nice moments between Ripley and Dr. Charles this season, and we have kind of really dove into that and kind of talking about their dynamic and how Ripley views Dr. Charles. We have debated quite a bit if Ripley has already forgiven Dr. Charles for what happened when Ripley was younger. What do you think of that? Do you think he's forgiven him?
That is a great question. I don't think that's something that Ripley would be able to articulate himself. I think that is swirling around in him and probably feels like he knows it needs to happen, but whether he actually has or hasn't, I'm not sure. I think it's such a deep-seated thing that has formed such an integral part of who he is. I think there's maybe there's part of him that has or wants to, and I think there's part of him that doesn't want to and wants to hold on to it. Maybe I certainly feel like we're going to continue to explore that, and there will be things from Ripley's past that will continue to pop up and bring the past into the present, no matter how hard Ripley tries to keep the past in the past.
Do you think that maybe, I mean, again, it's fun for us to theorize and just throw these things around. Do you think that Dr. Charles being at Med factored into Ripley's decision, or do you think it just kind of happened that way?
My understanding is that it is actually purely coincidental, that it wasn't about tracking him down. And there's no, I don't think there was ever, you know, revenge, or there was no intention of look at me now or anything like that. I think that is coincidental.
So I understand that Dr. Charles and Ripley work pretty closely together in this coming week's episode. What can you tease about mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting story of a very specific example of OCD, and the way that how it transpires and the way that they have to eventually go about treating or helping this patient is a little unorthodox, which makes it a really interesting episode and really, I want to say fun, but it's not fun because it's an emotional storyline, but it's because it's unorthodox, because it's Ripley and Charles figuring out their dynamic and coming at something from two different places. It made it an enjoyable storyline to play out, a challenging storyline, but an enjoyable one as an actor. Well, I mean, it's another you know, stepping stone on Ripley's on the journey of their relationship, figuring out what their relationship is professionally and what their relationship is personally. It's a very specific case, but yet another stepping stone.
Were you surprised at all when you kind of saw, I mean, obviously you've only been playing Ripley for 6 episodes, but were you surprised at all when you saw how willing Ripley was to work with Dr. Charles again?
No, because I think Ripley understands that, you know, once he knew that they're working in the same hospital, I think he knew that it was only going to be inevitable that they would have to work together. And I think Ripley really prides himself on his professionalism, on his prowess as a doctor. And so I think despite whatever challenges that presents to him personally and emotionally, you know, he has to meet those head on. And obviously that makes for interesting TV.
What is it like working with Oliver?
It's a dream. You know, he's a lovely, lovely person, first and foremost. You know, I think for an actor of his caliber to be working on network TV for one, but on a show for so long, for, you know, this is the 9th season. I think that says a lot, you know, and I've spoken to him a lot about it, and he just genuinely loves what he does, and he loves this show. And he cares so deeply about the show and his character and mental health. And I just love that. And each and every day that I have to work with him is a joy, because I know that I need to bring my A game. I know that I need to be on my toes and ready to catch the ball, even if, you know, I'm not meant to catch the ball, because that's just who he is. You know, he's always trying to make the scene better, you know, whether it's maybe slightly tweaking a line or a moment or adjusting the blocking or whatever it is, or just throwing me an idea, you know, it's always a workshop with him, which is just so lovely. And I'm sure just not the case for many other shows, especially network TV shows, going into their 9th season and beyond. You know, I think it would be easy to become a little mechanical or robotic, or just be going through the motions. It's just not the case with him. He's an absolute professional. And yeah, I can't talk highly enough of him.
In the 6 episodes we've had, we've already learned quite a bit about Ripley's backstory, which we don't always get with new characters in One Chicago. Mm-hmm. As an actor, mm-hmm. has that made getting into character a lot easier, having so much of his past?
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel very blessed to be playing Ripley, but to have as much information as I do. And that's really great, because that just helps me to ground him in the way that he needs to be grounded. But naturally, the way that network TV works is that there will be bits and pieces of information that are inserted into the story as the storyline grows and evolves that perhaps I didn't know about, you know, initially. And that's just, you know, par for the course. But what the starting point and what I've had to work with so far has been extremely helpful.
So there have been a few references to Ripley's family, like with his mother. We've had the best friend come back in. Do you know if we're going to explore that dynamic any further?
I don't know, but I would assume, you know, I think it makes sense to continue to bring Ripley's past into his present to challenge him, but also to challenge him and create drama, but also to learn more about him and you know, maybe see a more vulnerable side to him. You know, I think that's what's going to be interesting moving forwards, you know, as his relationships with various characters, as they become closer, he'll have to let them in. You know, Dr. Charles is the only one who knows something of his past. And I think there's a wall up, you know, Ripley protects himself and this new, you know, he protects himself in this professionalism and this job is everything to him. And he doesn't want to let anything get in the way of that because he didn't come from a very good place. It was a challenging childhood. And as much as that will never go away, you know, I think he literally built himself from the ground up. So, yeah.
Something fans have noticed quite a bit is there's a little dynamic between Ripley and Hannah happening. So,
oh yeah?
Yeah, a little one. I don't know if you picked up on it, tiny, but what's your thought on them? Do you think that they could work?
As a couple?
Maybe.
Is that what you're implying?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's a very good question. Look, what I will say is that they do have a really interesting dynamic, you know, and I think the writers are doing a really good job of planting seeds and of interactions in different ways, and then, you know, getting to see them work together, which puts, you know, puts Ripley in the deep end because he's out of his comfort zone, and that's really interesting. And then he gets to see someone really excel at their specialty, and I think there's a lot there between the two characters. I think there's a lot of commonality. I think maybe Dr. Asher is the one that will challenge him to open up and, you know, to perhaps reveal a little bit more of himself and his past. That'll be an interesting challenge for their relationship, whatever shape that may take, whether it's strictly professional, whether it's friends, whether it's something more. That may be a roadblock or not. Maybe that's the key.
I am out of time, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I appreciate it. Very nice to meet you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, welcome
nice
to Med.
To you too. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Once again, big thank you to Luke for stopping by and big thank you to NBC for helping us coordinate. Again, you will not hear episode 285 this Friday. Instead, you will hear it on Monday the 25th. Lauren and I will be getting together over the weekend to do that, so you'll have plenty of time to send us your thoughts on this week's episodes. So I don't think we'll be able to live tweet this week's episodes, but that'll kind of be a game time decision depending on a few variables. As always, you guys know where to find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, TikTok, all across the board. It's Meet Us at Molly's. Email us anytime, meetusatmollys@gmail.com. Check the link in our socials for our TeePublic page, our Patreon page, all that good stuff. Follow us individually on Twitter. I am at GinaWatchesTV. Bryna is at BrynaK13. And you guys make sure you watch One Chicago tonight and have a great weekend. And Lauren and I will see you on Monday. Bye.